You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org. There's an app for that.
Across the continent, there are places where too often fear prevails. From Mali to Mogadishu, senseless terrorism all too often perverts the meaning of Islam, one of the world's great religions.
It's not me who's creating the slippery slope. Those who are rejecting a male-female requirement to marriage are providing all the grease for that slippery slope.
The church needs men with hair on their chests.
Our greatest enemy is not our inability to keep the Ten Commandments or our inability of a good moral life. God is not a moralist.
Indiana truck drivers love Issues Etc.
You don't hear about this very often. Publicity stunt? I don't know. I think there is an intended message, an intended angle in this story about the sex boycott. You've heard about this? There are some women in the state of Texas are calling for a boycott, a sex boycott against men who won't support late-term abortions in Texas. Withhold sex until your man decides that he will join you, woman, since I guess the assumption is all women support late-term abortions, until your man joins you in supporting late-term abortion. That's the message. Is it true? Is what it assumes true? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Tuesday afternoon, the 2nd of July. We'll be talking with Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse of the Ruth Institute about the sex boycott in Texas. Robert Velarde will join us a little bit later. We'll get into the teachings, if they can be called teachings. It just sounds like a bunch of gobbledygook to me. Deepak Chopra, he just seems to say whatever comes to mind. Robert Velarde will be our guest. And then Molly Ziegler-Hemingway of GetReligion.org will join us. We'll get her thoughts, again, back to Texas, on that filibuster in the Texas Senate that managed to kill a late-term abortion bill. And she's going to talk a little bit of how the media has covered both the filibuster and the senator who conducted the filibuster. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Hi, Jennifer.
Hey, Todd. How are you?
Pretty well. The message down in Texas, that's my home state, by the way, seems to be with this sex boycott, all women in Texas support late-term abortions, and men who oppose it only oppose it because they're men. Are either of those things true?
Well, you know what cracks me up about this, Todd, is you and I have been talking for a long time about how people should live chaste and abstinent lives, but we didn't realize that some of our opponents on the other side were going to be calling for abstention from sex as a political weapon. So I don't know. I guess we have to take what we can get, huh? It's a pretty crazy situation, and it really shows, I think, that the proponents of abortion do not realize and do not want the public to realize that the pro-life movement is really a women's movement and is really a youth movement. The radical feminists have always known that their enemies were other women, right? And women who want to be married and stay married, women who want to have babies, women who want to have husbands who help them take care of those babies, those women have always intuited that the women's movement was directed against them, that they were the targets of it. And this crazy, you know, publicity stunt, basically, to withhold sex from men that you don't agree with politically. I mean, it shows just how warped their thinking really is on this.
There's another assumption at work here, kind of embedded in it, and it's often expressed in a different way from pro-choicers, and that is, and it's said so often, I think maybe Gloria Steinem probably came up with it. I remember her saying it often enough, that if men had babies, abortion would be a constitutional right. It would be written into the Constitution. What do you think of that assumption about men and their pro-life position?
Okay. First of all, if men could have babies, we would be a different species. Okay, Gloria, please calm down. You know, I mean, to take that as your thought experiment is so completely ridiculous. It shows that they resent the differences between men and women. They resent the human body itself. And so I completely reject what she's saying here, obviously. You know, the fact is that men, in many cases, are the beneficiaries of abortion because when they impregnate a woman and the situation is inconvenient for them, it's the boyfriend, it's the father, it's the man who's inconvenienced by the pregnancy who's dragging the woman off to get an abortion that she may or may not want. And the women's movement has never come to terms with that in anything like an honest way. So I categorically reject that whole approach to it, that it's women only who benefit from abortion and men only who don't want abortion. That it's ridiculous. It has no connection with reality whatsoever.
How does it actually come out? Because you deal with people of all ages, you deal with people of both genders.
Right.
And
right.
I think we can safely maintain that there's still only two real ones. And you speak with people on both the issue of family and abortion and life constantly. Do you find this kind of men showing up rabid to oppose abortion, women either ambivalent or pro-choice?
You know what? It's just the opposite, because I deal with religiously serious college students, okay? So they're not all college students, but I deal with college students who care about their faith, whatever their faith may be, literally across all the faith traditions. And Todd, you know, we're 100% pro-life, 100% pro-marriage. We have trouble getting men to come to our programs. We have to do affirmative action to get enough guys to come because the women are so drawn to our message. They want our message so badly. And so the idea that it's only men who are in opposition to the pro-abortion contraception agenda, that's just completely belied by the facts. I mean, look at it another way. Here's another thing that any conservative can verify this for themselves. If you go to any kind of Republican meeting, you go to a free market meeting, it'll be 80% men, I'll guarantee you. You go to a gun rights meeting, 90% men. You go to a foreign policy, you know, conservative, foreign policy hawks type of meeting, 90% men. American founding, 75% men. The only part of the conservative movement that is reliably female and predominantly female are the social issues. You know, if I don't care whether it's pro-life, I don't care whether it's pro-marriage, I don't care whether it's abstinence education. Abstinence education meetings are 90% women. You know, so the idea that women are all of one mind and all only of the leftist mind is completely ridiculous. That rhetoric that they're using is emotional manipulation, trying to maneuver women into their column or to shame us into being quiet because we're not proper women unless we agree with them. So that kind of shame-based rhetoric has just got to stop, and I hope the women of Texas will call them out and say, forget about it. I'm pro-life. My husband's pro-life. I'm only looking to marry a pro-life boyfriend. Forget about it. This is crazy what you guys are talking about.
Does the same hold true among our political classes? I mean, I think it's safe to say that among the, at least at the national level, the elected, pro-life women are more difficult to find than on the average street corner.
Well, you know what? That's a very interesting point, Todd. It's not just the elected officials. It's the whole leadership class. If you look at the leadership class, whether they're in academia or the media or politics, as you're saying, in government, the leadership class tends to favor the sexual revolution all the way through, men and women alike. They absolutely favor it. And the reason why is because the career paths that have been set up for women. The way women are allowed to participate in the labor force and the high end, highly educated part of the labor market, the only way you can do it is by getting all your education in your 20s, getting your doctorate, or if that's what you're going for, your master's, or making the first steps in your career. You get all that done in your 20s. And then and only then can you have your first baby when you're 30 or 35, and when you're settled in your career. That's the career path that we all have to face as professional women. And the fact is that career path is inhuman because it puts the woman at war with her body. And so the woman who has chosen to go to war with her body in that way is a woman who's deeply committed to it. She may have had to commit chemical warfare against her own body to sterilize herself, right, to temporarily chemically sterilize herself so that she can have her position as a news broadcaster or as an elected official. So that group of people is uncharacteristic, right? They're unrepresentative in the sense that they are far more likely than average to be dependent on the use of contraception and abortion for them to have the lifestyle that they want and choose. And I say that point right there is the point at which the new genuinely women's movement has to be built around that point because the career paths that we're asking of women now, it's inhuman. It's inhuman to put women through that, and we need a better career work-life balance type of strategy that has to do with people having more flexibility, going in and out of the labor force, having it be perfectly acceptable and financially possible for women to stay home with their kids and maybe work part-time and then go back to work when they're 40 or 45 and have something there for them to do. That's what we need to be doing. That's the real female-friendly, woman-friendly kind of movement. And you won't see those ladies in Texas talking one word about that. Those are women who are deeply committed to sterilizing themselves and maybe, if they're lucky, having one or two kids when they're 35. And they are not representative of every woman in America, that's for sure.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morris is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. I highly recommend that you sign up to receive the Ruth Institute's newsletter. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand. Jen taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she is author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd.
When we come back, Robert Velarde joins us. You've probably seen him on Oprah. You've probably seen him interviewed all over the media. Deepak Chopra is, I think it's safe to say, the most popular new age guru in the 21st century. What he says, what he teaches, makes no sense to me, but maybe we can sort it out. We'll talk about the teachings of Deepak Chopra right after this. Have you wondered what classical Lutheran education is all about? Are you a Lutheran homeschooler? Would you like to learn more about teaching students the essentials of biblical interpretation, law and gospel, or worldviews from a Lutheran perspective? Come join the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education July 16th through the 18th at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information, visit ccle.org. That's ccle.org.
Yes, there is a Messiah in Seattle. Messiah Lutheran Church and Concordia Lutheran School have served North Seattle for over 60 years, and we invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 8 and 10:45 with Bible study at 9:20. Messiah Seattle is proud to support Issues, etc. To learn more, watch our adult information class videos online or on DVD. Our website is messiahseattle.org, 206-524-0024.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Pastor Todd, I downloaded your Issues, Etc. app for my Android phone, and I listen to it while I'm on the treadmill.
You can listen to Issues, Etc. live or on demand with the new Issues, Etc. Android or iPhone app. You can download these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. in the palm of your hand. Download an app today.
My new Adam really enjoys the app while I'm on the treadmill.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.